greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery radio program today. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. I want to welcome you to our radio program that is brought to you and paid for by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. Today, we're going to get into a new study. We're going to start into a study that is going to focus on the coming millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that study is going to take us from Genesis clear through Revelation chapter 22. So I am so looking forward to this study. If you have a Bible today, you can open up to Genesis 1. I will pray, and then we will get right to the message that was preached inside the auditorium at our church. So let us pray together. Father, as we come today to begin a new journey, Lord, we just pray for the Spirit of God to take what is spoken and use it in the hearts of the listeners. Father, we pray that this message, and as well as all those that will come and follow, there will be a lot of them, Lord, that they will be used by you to edify the body of Christ. So bless what goes out over the airwaves today, and we'll thank you for it all. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. That's where we're going to start. We're going to go a long way around tonight because there's information that we need before we dive right into the text that we're going to look at tonight. But we get an opportunity tonight to begin a brand new study, and I've been so looking forward to this, and had went through a lot of it and then had to get away because of everything that we've been through, and so now I got to come back to it and get refreshed on all of it again, but it'll be okay. Next week, I didn't get to say anything to Adam. He went over in the fellowship hall. Next week, we're going to do the opening format a little different. We're going to do two songs. We'll do one song, the announcements, and then another song, and then start into the teaching, because I want to get as much time as I can, preferably 50 minutes or better, for each Sunday night, because tonight I had to cut it off, and I didn't want to cut it off where I cut it off, but I didn't want to run you all late, so we'll try to just eliminate another song next week, and that'll give a little bit more time to God's Word next week. So just so you know what we're doing with all of this, but come to Genesis 1. And watch verse 26. Let me read just a couple verses here. Genesis 1:26. And as we get through a lot of other information, we'll come back to this so you can just hang on to this for a moment. Verse 26 says this, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pray together. Father, bless our study tonight. As we begin this journey, Lord, we start on a long path to get to where we're going. But Lord, there is so much valuable information here, a spiritual truth that we need to grasp. So Lord, I pray that we would get our minds wrapped around it. And Lord, that whenever we come out of this study on the backside, however long it takes, a year, 2 years, whatever, Lord, that we will have a deeper and a richer understanding of your word because of this study. And Father, we'll thank you for it all. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's where we're at. The earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ, this is part one. Going to go a long time. Going to take quite a while to get through this. And we're not going to get in a hurry. We are going to take our time. Whatever we don't get on a Sunday night, we will come back the next Sunday night and we will gather it up. So I'll get to your notes here in a moment. But here's what I want to do tonight. Because this is where a lot of confusion comes in. I want to show you the difference between what is known as a universal kingdom that exists right now and a kingdom that is yet to come on the earth, that will come at the end of the great tribulation, whenever Jesus returns back to the earth. I want to show you, I want to use the Bible, and I want to show you the differences in the two kingdoms, because they are a lot of times confused, and a lot of times people don't know which one they are looking at. So I'm going to help you with that as we go through this tonight. So let me start with the introduction on the top of your paper. Here's what it says. Tonight, we begin what will be quite a long journey as we look into the Word of God to study the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. I want to begin tonight by looking at the two different kingdoms that are spoken of in the Bible. There's a present kingdom, which we will look at briefly, that is tonight. And then there is the coming kingdom, and this is the kingdom that we will be focused on in this study. So the one that is going to take up that is going to consume us in this is the earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to talk about God's original design, and we're going to talk about why this kingdom, just briefly, we'll get into it next week. Why does it have to happen? Because there are a lot of people that say they don't believe that there is going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. There are a lot of people that believe in what's known as kingdom now theology. And so they believe that we are already in the kingdom, that we are in it right now. There are major problems with that theology, and we'll touch on that as we go through all of this. But tonight we're going to look, first of all, at the differences in the kingdoms, so that you can see that there are two different kingdoms of God that are mentioned in the Bible. The first thing that I want to look at, if you notice your paper, is the present universal kingdom in relation to time. In relation to time, that's the present kingdom. Watch this. This is a kingdom where God is always reigning, and he's in control over all that happens. This kingdom is eternal, which means it has always existed. So in this kingdom that exists today, and I'm going to give you verses to back this up, God is sovereign over creation. He is sovereign. He is in charge of creation. There is a plan behind everything that happens, which will take us to the other kingdom here in a moment. But let me start with Psalm 93, 1 through 5. Watch this. The Lord reigneth, present tense. See that? He reigns now. He reigns now. So there is a kingdom. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also established that it cannot be moved. The throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. I'll just stop right there. So without a doubt, you read Psalm 93 verses 1 and 2, and you come away from those verses and you say, okay, this kingdom exists right now, because it says the Lord reigneth, thy throne is established of old. So it has already been in existence. Okay, understand that. Now, let me show you something else. Psalm 103:19. Watch this one. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth, present tense, over all. Over all. So, there again, Psalm 103:19 lets you know that there is today a present kingdom. This is the universal kingdom in which God rules over creation. Daniel 4:17. Watch this one. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and a demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. See that? Present tense. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and he setteth up over it the basest of men. So let me continue at the top of page 2. Here's what it says. In each of these references, I want you to see that not only is God's kingdom eternal, but he's also reigning at this present time directly by himself. That'll be a key statement here in a moment. He is reigning at this present time, and praise God that he is, because that's why we can go to him in prayer and he can answer our prayers, because he is sovereign over this creation. So there is a universal kingdom in which he rules right now at this present time. It is eternal. He has ruled forever, and it will continue to happen. But watch the next heading now. The kingdom of Jesus Christ in relation to time. The millennial kingdom in relation to time. What about it? Does it exist now? Watch Daniel chapter 2, 36 through 45. The interpretation of the dream, and I'm going to give you all of it because I want you to see this. This is a dream, and we will tell thee the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over all them. Thou art this head of gold. You remember the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, the statue. The gold, the silver, the bronze, the clay. Watch this. And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. For the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now watch this. And in these, and in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Just hold on for a moment. What kings? That's what I got to ask right there. What kings is he talking about? He's talking about the 10 Confederate kings that will serve under the Antichrist. Okay? In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So let me just stop for a moment. Okay, so this kingdom is different. The universal kingdom is in effect today. God's throne, God reigns today. He's ruling over the people. This kingdom is different. You get that right away, because this kingdom will not be set up until the days of these kings. The kings that are those 10 kings that are Confederate, those Confederate kings that are connected with the Antichrist in the tribulation period. That's when this kingdom will be set up. But I want to show you something else. Watch verse 45 on the screen again, or on your paper. It says, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. Okay, now listen, here's what happened in the dream. So Nebuchadnezzar sees this huge statue, the gold head, and he come down to silver and the bronze and the clay and then the clay and the iron mixed together, and then all at once there comes this stone flying in that hits this statue and just shatters everything, and everything of the statue disappears. That is the kingdom that we are going to study. That stone that comes, see that verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, watch this, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Okay, so what I want you to get here is this, that this kingdom that we are going to study is going to come suddenly upon the world. It'll destroy it'll end the times of the Gentiles. It'll end that. It'll destroy all the Gentile empires that have existed before it. That's the kingdom, the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. But I show you that because I want you to understand this, that when it comes suddenly. It comes all at one time at the end of the tribulation. It is going to come suddenly. And I tell you that because of what is taught by a lot of people that are into Reformed theology today, because what they will teach you is this, that we are currently in the kingdom, and this kingdom that we are in, that, and they want to refer, they don't believe in a thousand-year reign of Christ. They don't think that is literal. They see that as allegory. And so what they will say is that that what's going to happen is that the influence of the church is going to slowly change the world. That's what they will teach you. That the influence of the church, and they will use, whenever we get into Matthew 18, they will use those parables there to do that. And we'll look at what they teach in the midst of all that, and we'll see what the Word of God really says. But anyhow, they say that gradually it's going to come in, and whenever it gets so far, then Christ is going to come back. That's not what is taught here. This is not a gradual kingdom that comes by any means. It's coming in, and whenever it comes in, it will break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Everything that has existed before, and listen to this, all of that, all of those, boy, oh boy, there's so much here. All of everything that is in those former Gentile kingdoms have been, the false religious system and everything has been carried forth from the Tower of Babel. We're going to talk about that. That'll take a couple weeks to get there. But at the Tower of Babel, that has polluted all of these kingdoms. It has polluted all the nations. And so this will be a brand new kingdom that'll be pure, that'll be ushered in. And it'll come all at one time, and it's not going to be gradual. It'll be all at one time, and it'll come, and it'll destroy. And we can read about that in the book of Revelation. Okay, but let me go back to the point. The point is that this kingdom here will not be set up until the days of those kings. Come back to the top of page 3. Watch this. In contrast to the universal kingdom, this kingdom will not be established, it should say, until the 10-king confederacy of the Antichrist is destroyed, which is the end of the last Gentile reign. This kingdom will not be established until the Antichrist is overthrown. This will be the end of all the world kingdoms. Let me show you Revelation 11, 14 through 16. Watch these verses. Or 14 and 15. I don't know why it's 16 there. But anyhow, it says, the second woe is past, and behold, a third woe cometh quickly. And a seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, watch this, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this kingdom that is coming, this millennial kingdom, cannot come until you get to the end of the tribulation and all the kingdoms of the world are going to be destroyed, and then Christ will set up his kingdom. Back to your paper. In the universal kingdom, God's throne is in heaven. In a coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, his throne will be on the earth. Daniel tells us, in this kingdom, and this kingdom will come and destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist. Therefore, we can determine this kingdom is on the earth, and the throne will also be on the earth. Okay, so listen, there's a difference. Right now, God rules and reigns, but he does it from heaven. When this kingdom comes that is right here, if I could back you up, In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That is an earthly kingdom. So the throne will set on the earth for this kingdom, completely different than the universal kingdom. Okay, so you have two kingdoms now. You have the universal kingdom where God is ruling right now. He's seated on his throne right now, ruling over all of his creation. But there is coming a kingdom that will come on this earth at the end of the tribulation period. It will come in suddenly. This will be an earthly kingdom with the throne on the earth. Not, the throne will not be in heaven. It'll be on the earth. It must be on the earth. It has to be on the earth. And I'm going to try to get to that part tonight to help you to understand that, because there are a lot of people that do not believe that. So let me go back to your paper. Watch this again. The universal kingdom in relation to rule. Let's talk about the rule. Okay, so Daniel 4:17. Watch this one. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and a demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Now, watch your paper. I show you this verse again because we need to see that God is ruling directly by himself in this present kingdom. You got that? Don't miss that. In this present kingdom that we are in now, the universal kingdom where God is ruling over all of creation, he rules directly by himself. The coming kingdom is going to be different. Watch the next line. The coming kingdom of Jesus Christ in relation to rule. Watch Psalm 2. Now watch this. Psalm 2, 6 through 9. Says, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. King's in Jerusalem. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So let me tell you what the psalmist is writing here. This is a messianic psalm. It's talking about Christ. Christ will rule in a coming kingdom. He will rule in that coming kingdom. He will rule with perfect righteousness. We will talk about this as we go on. But watch your paper. Watch what I have here. Here we see that in the coming kingdom, God will rule through a person, and the person will be his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so now you got two differences in those kingdoms. One is that the first one is that the kingdom, the universal kingdom exists right now, and God is ruling in this world right now over all of creation. And opposed to that, or beside of that, you have the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, when that kingdom will not be established until the overthrow of the Antichrist, which is at the end of the tribulation period. Now you have something else different. In the present kingdom, God rules directly by himself from his throne in the universal kingdom. In the coming kingdom, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the millennial kingdom, his son, he will rule, but he will rule through, and I want you to listen to this, and I think I have this on the next statement. He will rule through a theocratic administrator. That is a very important statement. He will rule through an individual. In the millennial kingdom. Watch what Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7 say. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here we go. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So I give you that to show you that Isaiah writes of the child that'll be born, which will be Jesus Christ, that will come and he will be the one that will sit on the throne of David and rule that kingdom. So God will rule that kingdom, but he will rule through his son, Jesus Christ. Watch the next line. God will rule the future kingdom through his son, Jesus Christ. He will be known as a theocratic administrator. Then, like I said, remember that title because we will use it many times. We will use it many times. You're going to be surprised about some things as we go through this. Let me go on. The universal kingdom in relation to conditions. Okay, so let me say this before we look at this, the universal kingdom. It is unconditional. In other words, it happens regardless of what man does. It happens. Watch this. There are no conditions with the universal kingdom. God is ruling, and man's actions have nothing to do, it should say, with the fact that this kingdom exists. Okay, there are a lot of verses we could have used. I'll use Psalm 93, 1 and 2 again. The Lord reigneth. Regardless of man, he's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. So no conditions on that present kingdom. on that universal kingdom. No conditions at all. Whatever, God's going to rule no matter what. That kingdom exists no matter what man does. No matter what he does, God is ruling over his creation. Now watch the next one. The coming kingdom of Jesus Christ in relation to conditions. The kingdom of Jesus Christ that is yet future is conditional. It's conditional. It cannot come in. It cannot come into existence until one major thing occurs. Let me tell you what it is before I read this. It cannot happen until Israel accepts Jesus Christ as her Messiah. That's when it will happen. Watch Exodus 19, 5 through 6. I used part of these this morning. It says, now therefore, if thou will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me, watch this, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So, the coming kingdom is based on, it's conditional upon what Israel does. And it's not until Israel accepts Jesus Christ as her Messiah that kingdom will come. Let me keep reading. The coming kingdom will not be established until Israel walks in obedience. This kingdom will not come until Israel accepts Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Watch what Jesus said in Matthew 23, 37 through 39. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The kingdom was postponed. It was offered to the nation of Israel. It was offered to the Jews when Jesus came. We talked about this. We'll get into this more as time goes on. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you again for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And tune in next week. We'll pick that message right back up where we left off. Just as a quick reminder to you, all of our CDs are free. If you desire a CD of any of our messages, all you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. And write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Till we meet you around the radio, might you have a blessed week.